We left off, we got several verses last week that I'm going to go back and read two or three of them over again. And I want to start in verse 22 of Acts 15. And this verse 22 to verse 29 is an answer from Jerusalem to the situation that these people were having concerning circumcision and concerning the four things that they should abstain from, and let that be it and not be bogged down with a lot of the other stuff that since the Gentiles were coming into Israel. So I'm going to read 22, 23, and 24, and then we'll start with our study in 25. And I'll just read it out of the King James Version. It said, "Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church or the whole assembly to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, whose surname was Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren sends greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Sicilia," because this was where they were going to go back to. Paul had the understanding that he needed to go back there after they came away from there and came down the what they call the sea road there in the land that was given to the Israelites. And they came to Jerusalem and they spent quite a while in Jerusalem. So Paul and Barnabas had decided they wanted to go back through there because it wasn't a good situation when they left, because they had in Derbe they had stoned Paul to death, but God gave him his life back and he didn't spend too much time there, and then found failure coming back, and so they had been in Jerusalem for a good long while. And so this is verse 22 was the answer from Jerusalem, and it ran through verse 29 of the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. And then in verse 23, and it says, "And they wrote," or having written a letter, and the letter was put in Scripture in verse 30, but we haven't got there yet. "Letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and the brethren send greetings," and that word "send" has been added there, and it is out of the Greek, it is charion, and it means to rejoice. Charion, to rejoice. Or "I bid you to rejoice." Or it could be "I command you to God." And it says, "Unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles and throughout Antioch and Syria and Sicilia." In verse 24, it says, "For as much as we have heard that certain," and certain there is the Greek word "tis," T-I-S, "which went out from us," and the "out from" in the Greek is ek, "from us have troubled you with words subverting or unsettling," In the Greek, it is anaskinozo, anaskinozo, your souls, which equals, in the Greek, your psyche. C, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. We commanded it not. And that "not" there in the Greek is the word ou, ou. So, we get to 25 and we get our lesson going for today. In 25 it says this: "It seems good unto us, being assembled in one accord, to send chosen men unto you, with our beloved Barnabas and Paul." Well, they saw the plight that happened to them when Paul and Barnabas went down pretty much on their own under the auspices of God's direction. And so they got into some trouble with these people that had a temple down there, and they thought Paul and Barnabas was people that had come to visit them sometime in the past and were able to do miraculous things. And so they wanted to have a bigger deal with Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas said, "No, we're not gods. We're men just like you are. And so we don't want that." That's how some of this stuff came about in that situation. So looking at my notes there, it said it seemed good or it pleased. And the word there is dokeo in the Greek. Unto us being assembled or having come to be with or within one accord. And that one accord there in the Greek is paradidomai. And that means to deliver up or to betray, or it can be something recommended. And here it's something recommended, and it's to send chosen men unto you with those chosen ones, our beloved Barnabas and Paul. So they wanted to send people out with Barnabas and Paul whenever they go back and go through this place again to try to ward off or to keep things from getting out of hand. And even if these people do show up, the others can explain to them too what the situation is and why Paul and Barnabas didn't allow them to do what they wanted to do, because it was against God and against His plan at that point for them to do that. But I guess Paul and Barnabas couldn't talk them out of it, and it stirred up the community, and even some from Antioch come down to join them. And that's the reason when they got to Derbe, they felt like they had enough people with them that they could kill at least one of them, and they did. They stoned Paul to death. And then the group stood around outside the city, and when the other people walked away thinking it was all over with.
Because it normally is.
Yeah, because normally a stoning in the way that the Israelites did it, they did it with the smaller stones to begin with, and once they got you down, then they plummet your head with big rocks. And once your head's caved in,
pretty much over.
It's pretty much over. But it wasn't the case this time.
Yep, amen.
And so this was what Paul and Barnabas was teaching them as they came back through. They could see him, and they could know and understand that, yep, he's alive. And whenever they got back to Antioch and they got on the road, they went back to Jerusalem for a period of time. So this is where we are. And then we get into verse 26. He said, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that was talking about our beloved Paul and Barnabas in the past verse. Men that have hazarded their lives, literally have given up their soul, their psyche, for, or in the behalf of, and in the Greek word is the word hooper. It's the word that at least starts off with hooper. Behalf of hooper, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we'll get to turn the page on that one. And we'll get to verse 27. And so they're speaking on. It says, we have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same thing by mouth. So it only just isn't their testimony now, but it's the testimony of other believers that know and understand that if they said it, yes, it did happen. And in verse 27, it said, we. So this is the guy that was sending a letter. They had written a letter that's mentioned in verse 30 there. And so the we there is Judas and Silas, those of our assembly or those of our church. And I've got to where I use assembly quite a lot, but because of Alan Nass. And it just seems more appropriate to me that because everybody calls the building the church. And so to cut down on the deal of confusion, I'd rather use the assembly, because if you have no assembly, you have no church.
Amen.
Because the assembly that I went to, the building's still there, but it ain't a church. They don't have services there anymore. So the Word of God is not going out from there anymore, because there is no assembly. And the assembly is what does what God's bidding is in that place. Okay. Those of our assembly have sent, therefore. Apostello, or apostellos, I guess if it was plural. And so therefore is there, and it, like I've said in my studies for years and years, when you see therefore, you need to stop, look, and listen. Because therefore is there for a reason. And it's kind of like, and I put up a little sign with cross bars on it, like a railroad track would have out in the country somewhere, where they didn't have very much train traffic, because a lot of these places, if you didn't stop, you was taking your life in your hands.
Get plowed over.
So you need to think about it, because one of them old trains And I've been reading a little bit about that this week from a little town of Branchville, South Carolina, where Lori and Larry and them used to live. The old 44's down there, and they want to try to raise up some money and make a evening trips from one place to the other on it.
But, oh, like a dinner
Yeah.
Dinner run on
but
the train.
But they said they can't yet because it would cost between $2 million and $3 million to get it working again.
Wow.
And so here's what they've done. When the other trains come along that, you know, was diesels or whatever, they didn't need the water tanks. And they didn't need all the things in the wood, or if they burnt coal or wood, whichever one they burnt. There's not none of that going on now. So they would have to make arrangements for all these things on both ends of the line where they go to and come back. And they said that number 44 down in Branchville weighed 250 tons. The engine for that train weighed 250 tons, and I thought, my goodness, I didn't realize it weighed that much.
I didn't believe it.
But anyway, you know, this is what we're talking about with therefore, because if that 250-ton train hits you,
you're done.
Okay. Enough for therefore. The Judas and Silas, he shall also tell you the same things. Literally. Judas and Silas themselves also telling by mouth the Logos, the Word of God. And they understand that what they heard was something that God wanted.
So they were going to get the verbal version, and they were going to get the written version.
Yeah. So, you get both ways. Then we get down to verse 28. And 28 says this, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. So, when Paul and Barnabas is going to start their trip and go back, and they're first going to go by these churches, and then they're going to go to the other places in Asia Minor, or whatever part of that country is there, that they're going to go on through and finish the work, because in Derby they stopped and turned around and came back before. They only went to like 3 or 4 assemblies, but now they're going to go on and hear. And it says, for it seemed good to, or the word dokio, to the Holy Ghost, to the Holy Spirit. And if you want to look up that, that's in appendage 101, numeral 2, part 3. And to us, the whole assembly, it says to lay upon you, and this is like to put a yoke upon you. That's when you're talking about to lay something. In those days and in those terms, it was to lay a yoke upon more than one thing, where they would all go in the same direction. And it says to lay or put a yoke upon you, no greater burden. And no greater there is Meokeo, or yeah, Meokeo is no greater, and the Greek for burden is Baros, B-A-R-O-S, Baros, than. These necessary, and the word necessary there is compulsory things. Now, and they've been talking about circumcision and keeping the law. And circumcision here, therefore, was not compulsory for the Gentiles. It never was, never had been.
As a matter of fact, it was the very thing that set the Gentiles apart from the Jews for the most part, in the flesh.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, the deal of that was that if you had a boy baby, you went to the priest, and the priest did his ritual with him and held him up before God.
The eighth day, yeah.
The only eighth day, and offered him to God as a gift of God to these people to raise for his service.
And Paul made it clear in Romans that the giving of the law and the circumcision and the oracles, you know, all these things were committed to the Jews. That's all theirs.
Yeah. And Paul said, I count all that but done. Mm-hmm. All that but just a pile of dung. So to lay no, or to put a yoke upon you, no greater burden than the necessary things. And necessary there is compulsory. And so they made a point in the notes there that circumcision, therefore, was not compulsory to a Gentile. Okay, and then we get 29. This is the last verse in this part of this chapter of this book, but it's not the end of the chapter. Verse 29. And let's go back to verse 20. And read 20 first, because that's where it's basically where it started. And verse 20 says, here, it says, but we write, episteelo, unto them that they abstain. And this is the Greek, and it's the mid of the word epicheo, from pollution of idols. And here is a little bit in parentheses that I've looked up. And it says pollution would be caused by eating unclean or forbidding food. And the Greek for that is the word vero, or verde alisagio. And it said the heathenism involved used uncleanness as an act of worship because the way they did it and the reason they did it, and to offer it to an idol can't eat because an idol is not alive. And God didn't want you having anything to do with anything that was idolatrous. And so, he didn't want you involved in anything or any uncleanness as an act of worship. And another part of this was from fornication. In the Old Testament, in the Strong's, it's 2181. And the word is Zanana. Or Zonal. And the Jewish people were regarded as the spouse of Jehovah and not meant to commit wanton or adulterous acts or play the harlot or whore or whoredom or ravishment as bodily acts of will. And from things strangled, panikos, in this case, the blood remaineth in the carcass, contrary to Leviticus 17:10-14, and from blood, which kind of goes along with that, and that was from Leviticus 17:10-14 also, because the two together makes it work out. And it says, to the Jew or to the stranger they may be with or among the Jews. Then we go back to verse 29, where we just left off. And it's redone again in a kind of the same way. That you abstain, and that is the middle of the word, of the Greek word that has within it apicheo, from meat offered to idols. Idolotos. Idolotos. And from blood, and from things strangled. And from things strangled, meaning loss of breath or air. And also, the other one is fornication, it says, and from fornication, full stop. It says, from which, if you keep, or carefully keeping, didero yourself, ye shall do well, fare ye well, be strong, and that word is roninum. And this is the usual way of ending a letter in those days. Careful keeping yourself, you shall do well. Fare you well, be strong, be nunami, the usual way of ending a letter as written. That's the way they normally ended their letter, and to do well. So, I wanted to put that in there because, you know, sometimes we don't get the understanding of how these words come into being, unless you know how they're used. And so we get to verse 30. So from the answer from Jerusalem was from 22 to 29, what we just read. But we went back and looked at verse 20 because they had already mentioned that in there then. And now we're going to get to this verse 30 where they talked about a letter having been written. Okay. So we're going to pick that up a little bit now with verse 30. It says, so when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle. And full, that's full stop. And the epistle there is You know, it's what we consider to be a letter that has been written. And
the one they just sent.
And they delivered it. Mm-hmm. They didn't send it. They in person delivered it along with Paul and Barnabas. Because they didn't want them to get, you know, involved again. So let's see what 30 says with my notes. So it says, so when they were dismissed, or having been dismissed, and they alleged to go, they came to Antioch, full stop. And when they had, or having gathered, the multitude together, so there's this big group in Antioch too, so, evidently there was a lot of folk there then that had come back to see the Savior or to see what was going on there, because it was kind of troublesome times and when they crucified Christ, so, you know, it was, they wanted to hear and see him and to get a first hand glimpse of him, I guess. So they gathered the multitude together, so they were good numbers in those days around there. They delivered the epistle. And the epistle there was the written statement. So they had all come together, so this thing could be read to them and probably explained to them, which we find in verse 31. In verse 31 is a short verse, and it says, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. So when they read it, when and after reading it, when they had read it, they rejoiced for there, and that for is the Greek epi. And it talks about the consolation. It says, see 13, 15 through 18. So let's turn back in Acts to chapter 13 and look at 15 through 18.
Evidently having a good answer to the question really brought them a lot of peace and consolation.
13:15. Let me go back one more page. Yeah, it was a kind of a hard fact to allow the Gentiles to have this without having the other, because all the Jews felt like they were had gotten cheated somewhat, or some of them had. Anyway.
A little jealous there.
13:15 it says, and after the reading of the law. Well, let's go back to 14. It said, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the ruler of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, you men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And, oh, yeah. You don't give Paul a chance without him getting up. And he said, then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand, saying, men of Israel, and you that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. So you see, Paul goes right back to the 40-year travel in the wilderness that shouldn't have lasted over a couple of 3 weeks, but they were on probation. And God's probation is the number 40. It can be 40 days, or it can be 40 years. Or, in some places, it can be 400 years. But the 40 is something that's always kind of in front of everything and remembered there. And in 31, yeah, they read it and they rejoiced for the consolation, and they received some consolation from that, and then some great understanding. And then we get to verse 32. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted, and exhorted there is parakaleo in the Greek, the brother, with or by means of speech or many words, and conform or strengthen them as they were added. So they exhorted the brethren with by means of speech, by the word of mouth, and confirmed and strengthened them, and they added to them evidently the things that the Spirit wanted them to know. Then we get to verse 33. And verse 33 is this: and after that, and after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. It says, and after they had tarried there a space, after continuing and evidently on their trip, they had made time, and they were going by boat or ship a lot of times. And so they had some time to be had there. And then after that time that they had made up going there, they were let go or dismissed in peace or with peace from the brethren unto the apostles. And then verse 34. Now, this wasn't in the original text, so it ought to be a parenthetical insertion in verse 34. This verse has been added. And it says, notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Okay, so they were in Antioch. They came to Antioch in 30. And so this verse added, it should be in parentheses, notwithstanding, it pleased Silas, or he felt, to abide there in Antioch. So it seems like deja vu all over again, because this is where John Mark left them in the other trip. And now we got Silas bowing up a little bit again, but that all got straightened out the next few verses of Scripture. I don't know where I got time. Probably ain't got time to do all this, but we'll do as much as we can. Verse 35, and it says this: Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. So Paul here, it says, but Paul here also and Barnabas continued diatribio in Antioch, teaching and preaching, or evangelizo, the word of the Lord, which with or among others, heteros, also with other men or people, the word heteros also. And so Paul and Barnabas was continuing in Antioch, teaching and preaching there. And it said, and some days after, this is in verse 36. So they were there some days, and it doesn't say how many, just certain days. Paul says unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. So this was from Paul. And if you have any doubt about Paul being the head of that group, you need to be careful with this verse to listen and realize that he was the one that was given the instructions from God and from the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit gave him understanding of those directions. So it says in verse 36, and after some days, certain days, the Greek word there is tis again, like T-I-S. After Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we had preached the word. And that word there, preach the word, is kataangelo, and see how they do, or see how they fare. You know, and sometimes that word comes up in there is wanting to know how do you fare, or how are you, what do you think about?
How they're making it.
How are you making it? How are you doing? In verse 37, there was a little difference situation here. And Barnabas purposed or determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Oh, so Mark back with them again. Because he went.
He was at least one of the group.
Yeah. So, Barnabas had made this determination, and it's different from that Paul had said, let us go and visit our brethren again. He determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. And Mark was Barnabas' kin. I can't remember.
His nephew, I think.
I think it was his nephew, too. It's been a long time since and Mark was the one who bailed out on the first trip. He left Paul and Barnabas, and he went back. Then Paul and Barnabas went on down through the cities preaching and teaching, and they got down there with them guys that was running this temple. And they had a little hoorah, and that caused Paul to lose his life for a period of time that one day. And
you know, it's interesting.
So
Paul didn't have any testimony of how it was in heaven either.
No. And so here it is. Now you got a little rift between two of the leaders. And so this is going to teach us a little lesson. And and I can't finish this today, so this would probably be a good place to leave it. I'm not quite through with my time, but I will give to the time. And so we'll pick up with verse 38, and we'll do 38, 39, 40, and 41 next time, and then we'll get involved in something else, or maybe go on through 16 for a little ways, because that's still pretty good too. So, but you know, we picked up a couple of three names, and we're going to drop a name or two, because we're going to drop Barnabas out from history here. You're not going to hear when you get to the 41st verse of this last verse of chapter 15, you're not going to hear any more about Barnabas. He is he has took Mark and left and went to Cyprus. And that wasn't where Paul was going. He was going back from Antioch down through Syria, down through that country. And
see how everybody was doing.
Yeah.
And you know, it makes sense, though, if they went through and established all these assemblies in these various cities, that they'd want to know how it was, you know, if they were converting any.
This was exactly Paul's mode of operation. He always was looking for even sending people back to other places to get a feeling for what they were doing. Yep. And if they were still on the right track.
Yep.
And so this was something that had gotten burned into Paul already.
And that very statement is what seems to have generated most of his epistles.
Yeah.
Because checking on them, he would come up with this, oh, they've got all this going on, like in Corinthians.
Yeah.
And he's like, better write a letter back to them, straighten all this out.
Let them
know where they stand on all this. Yeah. And that, if you think about it, that's exactly what generated
the rest,
and most, for the most part,
most of the rest
all
of
the epistles, except for maybe Hebrews. Yeah.
Right. So, this is, I'll write next on this so I can remember.
I have to do the same thing.
I always write me a little bit.
It's not sometimes. Just you.
Not all the time, but sometimes. But, they ain't but four or five verses, but you cannot get all you need to get out of these four or five verses. And 3 or 4 minutes, you just can't do it. And it make good sense to you. And that's the reason. This is the reason why they were trying to get this done because the Gentiles was being grafted into Israel's hope, but they didn't want to have to. They didn't want to have the law, or they didn't want to have the circumcision.
Well, and it was interesting too that when they wrote back, they said it seemed pleasing to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So they had God's buy-in on on the decision as well.
Right.
But note that during that dispensation, still things that you have, there are ordinances, things that you have to do and go by.
Yeah.
And that went right along with the works.
Well, they were given in the beginning. They were given works to do.
Yep.
And now it's turning toward grace. Every little thing you may not see it written out, but it's basically there that
all grace, but different measures.
Different measures of grace for different people. Absolutely. And so that's that may be hard for some people to fathom. But you see, God was dealing with Israel as that them being His, that this was His people that He was going to inherit. And then Christ was going to inherit those Gentile believers that didn't have a hope at that time for a long time until He was able to go to the cross and give His blood and give His life. The forgiveness and hope through the true grace that had been dangled out before them a little bit and was never really understood until a certain period of time. So, like Miss Doherty used to say, or maybe still does, it's all good.
Amen. Thanks, Pop.
So, thank you for being with us tonight. It was good to get back into it and kind of get away from the things of this old world.